This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, May 30th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. Anna Schwartz, along with Milton Friedman, literally wrote the book on American monetary history. Now Dr. Schwartz is calling the Bernanke Fed thus far a failure. Anna Schwartz is a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. This is the second part of my conversation with Dr. Schwartz, recorded Wednesday. Given the difficulty of pricing these assets and the sort of exotic way that credit was extended in the 90s and the early 2000s, how much of this subprime crisis is a failure of government and how much of it is a failure of markets?
The subprime crisis was created by financial engineers who changed the model on which mortgage loans had been extended for decades. The firm that made the loan kept the loan on its balance sheet and collected the payments from the mortgage borrowers, and it was a very safe kind of investment. But once the financial engineers provided the model for securitization of mortgage loans backed by the collateral of the mortgages, some of which were certainly not priced correctly, and it's the mispricing of the subprime mortgage loans that's at the basis of the difficulties in the mortgage market.
All right. Well, then my next question is, does the moral hazard rear its ugly head if the Fed in many ways helped bail out creditors of Bear Stearns? You would think that creditors would be the types of people who would want to make sure that the company they're investing in has a reasonable balance sheet.
Well, being accommodative, keeping interest rates low, providing lots of liquidity is a sure path to creating moral hazard. No firm is penalized for stupid decisions. You bail them out. You exchange the poor assets that they've acquired and given them easily marketable treasury securities. The Fed takes over the junk and leaves the firm that is being rescued with sound assets. What kind of environment will that create? Anybody who can borrow easily, borrow at very low cost, has no incentive to be discriminating in how he invests. If he makes bad decisions, the Fed will take care of him. If he makes good decisions, he's going to be able to make good returns on these assets.
I was read in the New York Times this morning, Kevin Warsh, who is described by the newspaper as a Bernanke ally and a Fed governor, said that while the Taylor rule provided a reasonable description of the last 20 years, it has failed to account for recent conditions. What do you think of that?
Well, I would judge what the Fed has been doing as a failure, because if all their innovations were really answering the problems of the credit market, the credit market would have calmed down certainly. I mean, now they're in, have been operating for 2 years. The credit market would have been stabilized. There would not be the kinds of uncertainty that still hover over the market for credit. And what's more, you wouldn't have this problem of you're rescuing firms that you shouldn't be rescuing. They're insolvent, and they shouldn't be a firm that the Fed will take care of. It's what creates moral hazard. It's what means that the market for assets is distorted. You can acquire all kinds of assets. There is no there are no criteria for judging which are sound assets, which will yield a reasonable return to the investor, and which are just not worth anything, but the Fed regards all of them as suitable for its own portfolio and relieves the investors who've made poor choices so that there is no penalty for the wrong decision. That's not a healthy credit market. It's not a healthy economy. It's an economy that can easily be involved in a disaster.
What do you think the Fed should do with the debt that it's taken onto its books? It has exchanged these assets of undetermined quality and exchanged them for treasuries. What should it do with those assets?
Well, the ultimate plan is to sell off these questionable assets and to hope that there isn't a big hole in the revenues of the Federal Reserve System because they've acquired this low-quality stuff. But whether there will be a market for them, is, we can't. There's no basis for judging that. We don't know exactly how poor these assets are. It's a switch which you would justify if you knew that the firms that had acquired them still had quality assets that made the firm a viable institution. You don't know that. What's more, all these firms, if they do write down the assets that are incorrectly priced, all need additional capital. Is the Fed monitoring the capital adequacy of the, first of all, the commercial banks for which it is responsible, and its foray into the investment market, the investment firms, and very little statutory support for that kind of an action.
Do you think that monetarism is dead?
Absolutely not. The Federal Reserve lives by monetarist principles, except since the new leadership at the Fed has done things which have no precedent, have no statutory support, and really threaten the the kinds of improvement in monetary policy that have been achieved in the 20 years since Volcker controlled inflation. We now have growing inflation that the Fed doesn't pay attention to. We have a weak dollar that the Fed's own cutting the Fed funds rate made possible, and the Fed ignores these actions. And it isn't clear that the actions that it has taken have done anything to calm the credit market, the stock market, and the general public confidence in what monetary policy actually is achieving.
Anna Schwartz is a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. She co-authored A Monetary History of the United States, 1867 through 1960, along with Milton Friedman. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. You can read a great deal more on monetary policy and history at our website, cato.org.